Well, we're going to be, as I was sharing, we're going to be adding a little more to this theme of divine increase. You know, if you talk about increase, you know, just think about it. Let's take a little aside here. If you just think about increase, all of us can work hard and increase. So just from the natural standpoint, we have intelligence, we have thinking, we have opportunities in society. We can work and we can make money and we can, and there are opportunities, so we can increase. But we're not talking about that kind of increase, and although it does affect that, but we're talking about divine increase, increase that comes by and through God's ability and when we and God's will. So we looked on Sunday, and of course, John writing to Gaius, he says in 3 John, and of course, verse 2, he says in the New Living Translation, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." That's the new, well, the King James said, "Beloved, I wish above all things you mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers." But the New Living says, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." And when we talk about, you know, our adversary, the devil, Jesus, when he was on this earth, in John 10:10, he said in the Passion Translation, and he said, "A thief has only one thing in mind." Think about that. A thief, this is Jesus speaking, and he said, "The thief only has one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come," or you could almost insert that Jesus and the Father have only one thing in mind. He said, "I have come to do what? Give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." So we were just sharing on Sunday, how determined are you to take hold of that promise that God has said, "I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And he has come to give us, he said, "everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." Now, it's going to take some determination. And when we talk about determination, we're talking about something, a decision that we've reached. We've made a decision. We're firmly resolved in something. We've resolved ourselves, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this." So, you know, certain synonyms, something that means similar, says something that you're single-minded about, something that you're purposeful about or you're intent on. Now, you talk about an antonym, it says what? You vacillate, you're hesitant, you waver, you're indecisive. So we don't want to be that. We want to be what? Determined that we're going to do what? Have something, take hold of something. And that determination, again, it's going to be what? Something that we've made a decision in our thinking. So determination, really, when you think about it, it starts in the mind. And it does what? It gets down in our heart, and then we act upon something. But we are to do what? 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we do what? We live by faith. We conduct our lives by confidence, or you could say a determination. We walk by faith and not by sight. And the Passion says we live by faith, and we do what? We not by what we see with our eyes. It means to, you know, this Greek word means to conduct or to regulate one's life. That means you got to be determined about some things. and you're going to decree, I'm going to have this, I'm going to take hold of this, how? By faith. But we know that Hebrews 11:6, in the Passion Translation, it says, Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith living within us, so faith has got to be of the heart, lives within us, it would be impossible to please God, or you could say you're powerless to please God, for we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real, and he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him. When you're passionate about something, I guarantee you, underlying in there, you're determined about something. There's a determination. There's a single-mindedness, a resolve about you. You're passionate. You know, we see people then just in the earth realm here, we see in the natural, people who are passionate about something, they've resolved something. Now, just think about when we talk about determination and our thinking. Think about Isaiah 55:8 in the King James. The prophet said here by the Holy Ghost, he said here, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And he goes on to share, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So our determination, our thoughts, must be brought into subjection to the Word of God. In order for there to be a determined mind or resolve, we have to bring our thoughts into subjection. That means I've got to submit to God's will and not waver. So here, the submission is involved in our faith. So this is the beginning of our faith. Our mind and thinking must be resolved. In other words, I've got to submit it. If a mind that is under the control of doubt and unbelief is a target of the devil. So your faith, if it's not working, then you need to look at, you know, are you submitted to God's instructions? For our faith to accomplish the scripture says, our mind and thoughts must be captured or submitted to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:4 in the King James translation, it says, for the weapons of our what? Our warfare. So there's a warfare going on, and we know that warfare usually starts in our thinking. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty, are not carnal, but what? Mighty through God to what? The pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing what? Into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Not 70-30, 50-50, 60-40. This is 100% every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what does that mean? I've got to submit every thought to the obedience of Christ. So isn't it interesting? Sometimes when we talk about strongholds, usually if you asked a question, if you put it out there and said a stronghold, most people would think about something negative. They would think about, you know, there's a stronghold, this is a negative situation. But if our stronghold is built on the Word of God, our mind can do what? Immediately cast down and take captives that are thoughts that are not of God. So we can build a stronghold in our thinking that's not captured by worldly thoughts. This is what Romans 12 2 says in the Passion, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be what? Inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Every thought has to be brought into subjection to God's word. So submission to the will of God causes weakness to dissipate and strength to increase. So when we submit our will to God, you know, you think about it, this goes, there's so many scriptures you can bring into bear here, but the more you meditate on something negative, the more you meditate on something that's a mountain, it looks bigger and badder than really what it should be. And this is what Joshua says, that it says, let not this book of the law, what? Depart out of thy mouth, but meditate on it day and night. So the scriptures that we can come to mind, it says, no weapon formed against us will prosper, Isaiah 54:17. So there's an ongoing war or a battle in our mind, and if it's not controlled, if we don't submit this mind and bring every thought into subjection to the knowledge of God, then he may get an upper hand. So the scripture tells us that God has empowered us to do something about these thoughts. What? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Glory to God. Now, God's given us the right to choose. Now, think about Deuteronomy in the King James, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose blessing. Choose life that thou and thy seed may live. So God gives us a choice where our thoughts and our decisions are concerned, and he tells us to do what? Choose life. So the determination, how determined are you? You have to set your will to do something. Your determination is involved with your will, with your thinking. When you become convinced of something, you become determined. Let's look quickly at 1 Corinthians 2 and chapter 2 and verse 2. When we talk about being determined, Paul was determined. You know, we can go through and look at the scriptures. What did Paul say here? He said to the church at Corinth, he said, for I determined. So Paul is saying here, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let's look at that same verse in the Passion Translation. It says, for while I was with you, I was determined to be consumed with one topic, not all the stuff that people want to be consumed with when they're gathering with one another. And I'm certainly not saying social interaction is not good. It's good. But what did Paul say? He said, I was determined to be consumed with one topic, Jesus, the crucified Messiah. So he did what? This word determined that he uses, it means to resolve. It means to determine, to esteem something, to prefer something. So I'm sure he was, you know, faced with all kinds of things that people wanted to pull from him or you know, share with him. And he said what? For when he was with them, he was determined to be consumed with one topic. So he was determined not to do what? Not to look to the left or the right, but to the author and finisher of his faith. So hard times are out there, but do confront us. But we are not going to be moved. We are going to be what? A determined church. So determination or lack thereof will always be settled where? In your mind, and will assume control of your will. So let's take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. So our faith, as we're turning there, our faith is based on our determination or our choice. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you know, I've shared a lot just to get you thinking about this word determined or determined faith or determination. But faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God, Romans 10:17. But think about this. Faith comes through revelation in the word of God. You know, you can read the word of God and the logos word of God, and there may not be revelation, but think about Psalm 119:130. What does it say? The entrance of his word giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. That word there in some translations says giveth light. It giveth revelation. So when we get revelation in the word of God and we get this aha moment, we see something in the word of God, faith comes alive where? In us. And there is at that point a determination. There's a knowing, and then you have to determine at that point, I'm going to do something. I'm going to act upon my faith. So determination will come through revelation. So revelation comes first, and then there's a determination. You see something, and then you do what? You act upon it. So let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. We talk about, you know, determination is settled, and or the lack of it is settled where? In your mind. Well, look what Paul's writing to the church of Thessalonica. He said, that you be not soon what? Shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. You know, with all that's going on, we could share the same thing. Don't be soon shaken. Don't be so shaken in your mind with all of the stuff that's going on in society. The devil is stirring up things to do what? Distract us from what just Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, where he said, I purposed, I determined to not know anything while I was among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, I know we have things and responsibilities every day, and we have things that we have to do, but we need to determine in our mind that we are not going to be deterred or shaken or moved away from the callings that God has upon our life and the assignments that God has given us. You know, we all have choices. We all can make choices and decisions, and we're confronted with things in life, but we need to determine that God has called me to do this. Whatever area of life he has you, he's called you in that area of life, and then he's called all of us to share the good news of the gospel. So wherever you find yourself in life, in society, in interacting with people, don't get so shaken in mind or distracted with all the things that are going on that we forget our purpose, number one, the calling that God has called us to, and that we are, as the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are ministers of reconciliation. We are to share the good news of the gospel. So let's take a quick look at John 14 in the King James and verse 27. Jesus speaking here, he said, peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Now, look what he says next. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So here, when your heart gets troubled or you're afraid, usually there's something that you're listening to or seeing or observing, and your determination, your resolve is affected. And so we can say here to all of us, let not our hearts be troubled. So we have, when it says let not, we have something to do with what? Letting in fear and troubles in our minds. And the New Living Translation, I like this in John 14:27. It says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind. So he's leaving us with a gift, peace of mind and heart. So what? Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Another scripture that came to mind, Psalm 57 and verse 7. You know, it's in a couple of places where the psalmist writes, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed, I will sing and give praise. So when we say, when the psalmist said, my heart is fixed, you could say he was determined. I'm determined, my heart is fixed. If you're determined, then your heart is fixed. Glory to God. Now, let's take a look at Ephesians 4:27. You know, there's some instructions here that we can look at. It says, neither do what? Give place to the devil. Or you could say, don't give a foothold to the devil in any area of your life. Don't give him a foothold. What are we supposed to do? When we give him any place in our life, when we give any place to, you may not realize it's a devil. You may not be aware of it. But if we give place to something that's not, well, let's go back. We're to submit every thought to the obedience or the knowledge of God. We're to submit every thought, and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So here, we are not to give any place to the devil, any foothold in our life. James 4:7-8, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. This is what we're talking about, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Submitting ourselves, therefore, to God, doing what? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when we give the devil any place, it could affect your determination. How? Why? Because then, what do we go back? Determination is having a resolve. When you're not determined about something, if you're not intent or single-minded about something, then what are you? You're hesitant. And that's where things start. And there's examples. I know I'm sharing some things, but let's take a look at Matthew and this account. There's a number of other accounts, but let's just take a few moments and look at this account on Matthew 14, verses 27 through 31. Let's just say this as we're going. I am not going to be moved from the Word of God. But Jesus speaking. Now, this is the account where Jesus went up and was praying, and then it said in the fourth watch he came down and he was walking on the water. Let me just turn over there. And his disciples, what does it say? His disciples thought he was what? He was a spirit. So they're in the middle of the sea, and there's a storm going on. There's wind, and So verse 27, it says, and straightway, or they cried out for fear when they saw him, and straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, or you could say, be of good courage, that word is. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. And what else did he say after that? On the water. He said, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said what? He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Would you not say he was determined? He was resolved. He had received what? Revelation from Jesus, come. And that word, I believe, that one word revealed revelation and insight that he could walk on water. And so he was determined. He was single-minded. He was resolved. He must have been. How many of you are that determined you're going to get out of a boat and get on some water and walk? None of us would, unless we had what? A revelation from God. So this is what we're saying, that revelation will cause in us some resolve, some determination to do something, and then what? I have to act upon it. And what did it say? He came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus, but this is what happened. But when he did what? He saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. So what he saw, he began to lose that determination. He began to be afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried, saying what? Lord, save me. In verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So his determination, this determined faith, it started out good. He was determined. He was acting on it. He was walking on the water. And then what? He became just like Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians. He soon became shaken in mind, and he was troubled by what he saw. So he became shaken in mind, he was troubled, and so what happened? He began to sink. And Jesus shared with him, hey, you know, you missed it. You could have walked on the water. And so we have to determine in our hearts and minds that those things that God has shown us in his word, those things that God has revealed to us individually, it may not look like anything's changing. But if God spoke that to you, if God revealed something to you in the word of God and you're acting upon it, then what does the scripture say in Galatians chapter 6 and verse, I believe it's verse 9, it says, and let us what? Not be weary in well-doing. Where are you going to become weary? In your thinking, in your mind. So let us not be weary. Let's not be unresolved or hesitant or lacking in determination. Let us not be weary, what? In well-doing, for in due season we are going to reap if we faint not. So let's be determined, you know, I know this wasn't, we can just take a few moments, but let's take a look at Mark chapter 5, and let's look at the woman with the issue of blood, and let's look at verses 27 down, we'd just spend a few minutes before we close. But it says here in Mark chapter 5 and verse 27, 28, 29, 30, it says, and when she had heard of Jesus, so here she heard something, and this became what? Revelation to her, and stirred something, and she says, came in the press behind and did what? And touched his garment. And so what happened? If you know anything about that society, she had an issue of blood, and it talked about she had an issue of blood for 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, and was nothing better. But rather, it says she grew worse. And so here she heard about Jesus, and I'm sure all the stories that all that came to him were healed. They touched him, and virtue flowed out of him. And so, you know, anything in society, in that society at that time, she was considered unclean and not supposed to be out in and amongst society and in amongst people, and she risked being stoned. And so you got to be pretty determined in your faith that you're going to get something if you're going to put your life at risk to go out and to get something from Jesus at that time. So what does it say? For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body, and she was healed of that plague. And then, of course, I'm going to just jump down, and at verse 33 and 34, it says, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You could put right in there, daughter, thy determined faith hath made thee whole. Because determined faith has settled in their heart and mind that I'm getting something from God, something that God has promised. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And so something that God has promised, something that's in his word, first should what? Affect our thinking. This is what Romans 12:2 says, that his word, what? Does a total transformation on our thinking and our mind, so that what? We may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when that happens, there's a determination about us that we're going to prove something and get something from God. This is what, when we look at Mark 11, 22 and 23 and 24, what things, so it says, have faith in God. And it says, whosoever what shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And so we can see that kind of determined faith here in what Jesus was sharing. So I just share with us that all the things that are going on around and in you, maybe in your life, maybe everything's going well, but I'll guarantee you, sometime in your life, something's going to cause you to question something where God's word is concerned. Thoughts are going to come. And where's that battle? That battle is in your thinking, in your mind. And the thief comes but what? To steal and to kill and to destroy you. But we are to do what? Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, which means bringing every thought into obedience or subjection to his will. And when we do that, as the scripture says in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 1, it says in verse 19, if we are willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. So it's just this thought of being determined. I know a lot of us can be determined. Some of us can be very determined about things, and then other things we're not so determined. But we need to be absolutely firmly resolved. We, as this description, we need to, when it comes to determination or determined faith, we need to have come to a decision that this is God's word, I'm going to believe it, come what may, that I believe I receive. And God said he watches over his word to perform it. So be determined, have determined faith, keep feeding on the Word of God, make the corrections. If maybe you just slacked off on your faith in an area, pick it back up, because God desires, and we're talking about divine increase, not only does he want us to increase, where it says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, increase in this area, but he wants us to increase where our faith is concerned. So keep feeding on the Word of God, and we'll walk in the blessings of God, and you'll have determined faith. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you for giving us insight in your Word and stirring our hearts to be determined about you and not give place to the devil, not give place to his thoughts that are coming for one purpose only, to make us or to cause us to make wrong decisions that would steal and kill and destroy us. So, Father, we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we thank you. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just before we close and we leave you, let's just, we always do, we extend the opportunity for those that may not know Christ. Maybe you want to know him. Maybe you've been thinking about it, and maybe you haven't made that decision. Well, tonight's your night. And the scriptures they're putting up, it says, if you'll do what? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And it goes on to say, for with the heart man does what? Believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let's say this simple prayer. And if you know that you need Christ, or maybe you've stepped away and not have been following him to the degree that you should, tonight is a night to turn that around. Make your declaration with determination that I'm going to follow Christ. Say this, Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus here to this earth to die and redeem mankind, die for the sins of mankind and redeem him. And I thank you that he took my sins to hell, and I believe he is the Christ. I believe on the third day when sin was paid for, he was released from the shackles of hell and raised from the dead. And I receive him now as my Savior. I ask you, Jesus, to cleanse me of all unrighteousness with the blood of Jesus. And I decree with my mouth that I am saved. Now, if you said that simple prayer and you meant that from your heart, then you are saved. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to send you some free information as to who you've become in Christ. So if you would just send us an email, or you could mail us a letter, or call us by phone and let us know that you've received Jesus as your Savior. Glory to God. Praise God. And we rejoice with you, because you've been, as the scripture said in Colossians, we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son.